Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Metro Raleigh Business Radio, where business leaders in Raleigh come to tell their stories.
Hello and happy Monday. This is Anne Ravel-Petcher, your host for Metro Raleigh Business Radio. I'm in the studio today with Cal Hackman, my co-host. Hey, Cal.
Good afternoon.
So glad to be back in the studio with you.
It's great.
And our producer, Angie Hand. Hello, Angie.
Hello.
Hope everybody had a great weekend. We're going to have a great show. I have two women in the studio today that are really instrumental in helping businesses in our region grow. And as they grow, they are there to support them. And I'm really excited to introduce to you first Marlene Spitzer, who is a Senior Vice President for Cressa Carolinas. Hello, Marlene.
Hi, good afternoon.
It's good to have you here. And also Barbara Beard, who is the Practice Manager for Carlisle Conlin. She's the IT Practice Leader. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
I'm so glad to have you here. For those of you in the audience who have yet to run into Carlisle Conlin, they are a professional search firm. And they're a little bit different kind of professional search firm. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Barbara? What's your niche?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Carlisle Conlin is a professional search firm. We do specialize in mid to upper level management across multiple industries. Mine just happens to be information technology. Mm-hmm. We consider ourselves somewhat of a boutique search firm in the area. And in 2012, we were voted as the top search firm in the area.
Oh, wow. By whom? Who gave you this award?
Triangle Business Journal.
Oh, that's fabulous. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So you are specifically recruiting for the IT areas. What other kind of niches do you serve?
Yes, our company covers multiple industries, finance, agribusiness, biopharma, chemicals.
Okay. Wow, that's great. That's kind of everything that we're really good at in North Carolina.
Absolutely.
Technology, biotechnology, love it. And so how do you work? Are these retained searches?
We have multiple ways of working. Majority of what we do will be either engaged or retained search because of the types of and the levels of people that we recruit. But we will do contingency as well.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty good. Interesting. What kind of things are you seeing out there? You're obviously working with a number of different kinds of firms, and not just from North Carolina, by the way, right?
Right. We work nationwide. You know, our home base is here, obviously. The majority of our business is here, but we have clients that have offices nationwide, and we definitely have done a plethora of searches nationwide.
What are you seeing in terms of the industry, the IT industry specifically, seeing as that's what you're so good at?
Right. What I am seeing in this particular area, we're seeing a lot of companies, software companies, especially with data warehousing, moving into the area. We're seeing a lot of data centers growing in the area.
That's interesting.
It is. A lot are coming from the West Coast, primarily because this area, there's a lot of technology here, a lot of talent here, and also the expense is less here. So consequently, we're seeing a lot that are starting to have a presence. Typically, they'll start out with just a few people, give it a couple of years, then they'll have a real location here. But we're seeing that trend. We're seeing trends as well, a lot of entrepreneurship here.
Right.
They really promote that. A lot of the companies that have been entrepreneurial, that have really done well in this area, are really pushing that and supporting a lot of entrepreneurs in that respect. We have a lot of VC capital in the area. So, it's just a very promotional place.
Yeah, so essentially there's a term that's escaping my head right now for the fact that companies are moving here, especially from California, because the overhead is essentially lower, but you still have that really high level of highly trained, major experience levels of people, especially in IT.
Yes.
So it's sort of a win-win.
It is. It's very attractive.
Yeah, that's great. How is it for you finding people for these companies? How is the supply base?
Well, it's interesting. We have a lot of really good talent here, but there is the issue of needing more. And what we're finding, and this is a nationwide problem, not just here, we're finding a lack of really some technical resources in terms of developers, your engineers, network engineers, a lot of your systems engineers. Reason being is I think a lot of it has to do with the education. A lot of people are not excelling or getting degrees in that for a couple of reasons, and they're having to get it imported. Mm-hmm. We're getting people from other countries, but some of these projects are being outsourced too to other countries for cost factors.
Sure. Actually, I think I've seen lately that there have been quite a few code schools announced in the region. Have mm-hmm. you seen that?
I haven't really seen it, but I do know that there has been proposed funding going mm-hmm. to community colleges and really trying to make IT itself,
right.
You know, its own area where people can really get a good education in that, because a lot of your four-year universities aren't promoting it as much
sure.
as we would like to see. So taking some of that funding and putting it into the community colleges to encourage people to get into it is one of the solutions that has been discussed recently.
And IT is bigger than just programming.
Oh, totally.
What other kinds of jobs besides programmer jobs do you?
Oh, gosh. There's so much involved. Some of the specialties in it, though, involve database specialists.
Oh, okay.
As I mentioned, data. Big data is the term now that's being used.
Sure.
Big data is all over the place. Yeah. Wherever you go, you hear about it. And there's the ongoing question, what exactly is big data?
Yeah.
And big data entails a lot. And a lot of companies, basically what it is, a lot of companies, you can gather data from multiple sources now. It's a matter of what you want from it,
mm-hmm.
how you want to get the answers to what you want, determining what it is you want and how you're going to get there. And you have specialists that actually do that for you.
Okay.
So that's really becoming a large, large place in the IT sector. What we specialize in and what I specialize in are the people who run these projects.
So project management.
Project management is huge right now. Product management is becoming its own entity.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming very big. Business analysts. Good business analysts are difficult to find. A lot of companies, depending on the size and the structure of their IT departments, like to have a combination of skills. They like their project managers to be business analysts as well.
Oh, wow.
Right. And also, in today's world, we don't have the multiple levels we used to in terms of functional and technical.
Mm-hmm.
They want people that are technically savvy as well as functional and know how to manage. I would say probably the toughest skill to find across the board is someone that can relate to technical resources as well as upper management, because you're talking to two different entities.
Right.
And when they say communication skills are necessary, a lot of times we take that for granted because we know what they mean. But it's very important that someone has the savvy to be able to really talk to the technical people and understand them and then relay that to upper management in order to get the job done.
Boy, I can tell you as a communications professional, just finding people who even major in communications who can communicate is a very difficult thing. So it's just as hard as programming, I think.
Could be.
So you mentioned you know, jobs being outsourced, but we're hearing more and more today about insourcing.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing in that area, and how is mm-hmm. that affecting your business?
Yeah. Well, we'd like to see more insourcing. And as I said, I think the key to it is just having people educated in it and trying to promote it as something they can make a good living at. And companies need to wake up to the fact, too, they're going to have to pay to get that good talent. And I think what we're finding across the board through the years, it's kind of what goes around comes around. They've mm-hmm. done the outsourcing quite a bit. They're finding somewhat of the errors in their ways. It's still ongoing, but a lot of large companies have seen the lack of service that people want.
Right.
The customers are not happy with what's going on. There is still a huge lack of communication in terms of what people overseas understand according to what we want. So that's an issue that's ongoing. And one of the things that companies are seeing, too, are the cost. The cost savings are not what they used to be, because what's happened in a lot of these countries and smaller areas, their economies are growing like crazy because these people are getting paid. They know that they're needed. They're demanding more now, just like we would here.
Right.
So consequently, there is a fine line that's coming now of what the cost really is, along with the service. So I think you're going to see more of the, quote, insourcing coming back.
So you work nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
How would you compare our area to maybe some of the other up-and-coming areas around the country?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about up-and-coming areas, but I can tell you just in an instance coming from a large city background, some of the changes or the differences I've seen is, because this is a smaller region, you have a multitude of talent here, and everyone's after the same resources for the most part. So it's a matter of them being able to obtain those resources and retain them as well to keep them from going elsewhere. Very small community versus in a larger city, there kind of more choices. You know, people don't tend to move around quite as much, but they can do that here. The people here are very loyal to their, mm-hmm. their companies, sure. but at some point they will leave. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of being able to keep them. And also, one of the things we're seeing here, there is such a demand. We are seeing more people move into the area. You know, as you well know, the Raleigh area has been exposed nationally as a place to live. And I get a lot of contacts from people that are wanting to move to yeah. the area.
So it's not necessarily that difficult to find good people, but how are companies retaining them? How are they keeping them from going somewhere else?
Well, one thing they're doing is, you know, they are catering to what a lot of employees want now. You know, it's not just an employer-driven market, it's an employee-driven market. Mm. And consequently, they are offering activities. They're also promoting a lot of collaboration, not just within the teams and, you know, with the employees, but they're also promoting outside functions, you know, doing things together, really keeping people together as a team and promoting their culture. Mm. And so that when they interview people and they bring people on board, part of it, the culture, as much as anything, is very important now because these people are going to be socializing with each other. And they do, more so than in the past.
Interesting. So you talked about the kinds of companies that you work with, that you help recruit for, and you talked about different sizes of companies. How do you work with entrepreneurs? I assume they have to be pretty much of a specific size or in a major growth stage, obviously, if they're hiring.
They do.
At that mm-hmm. at that level, especially because this is at least a middle manager, right?
Right, at least.
And so how long are you seeing companies having to be in business before they get to the point of really being able to utilize your services appropriately?
It really depends. You know, we look at more of levels that they're at other than just, you know, time frames because that varies according to the company. But we like to work with them probably going from the second to the third level. That's when they've been in business, I'm going to say maybe anywhere from 2 to 5 years, mm-hmm. where they've really got some money behind them.
Right.
They're at that growth point where they can afford and need to bring on someone that can help guide them. They're looking for guidance as well as filling a position. And that's really important in the culture because when they get to that particular level as they grow and go through those, quote, growing pains, mm-hmm. they need to know how to grow and they need people that have been there and done it,
right.
That want that challenge again and that can take them where they want to go and help project where they need to go.
Sure.
Is there a particular position that you most often fill for an entrepreneur? I mean, what's their first hire when they go beyond the founders?
Usually, they have the technical resources behind them. Usually, it's in a small to mid-size, perhaps a CFO, mm-hmm. perhaps a CIO, which encompasses a lot of different roles, not your typical large corporate CIO, but someone that handles, wears multiple hats, and that oversees a lot of the different areas of the company.
Sure. Mm. So how do you go about getting clients here in this area or around the country?
A lot of times it's through referrals. You know, we have a good base of clients. It's through referrals. A lot of times it's through candidates that we talk to,
sure.
either whom they're currently working with or who they may go to work for. We build a lot of really good relationships with the people that we talk to. We partner with them, so to speak. And when we talk to them, that's how we present it is, you know, we're partners here and this is what we're going to do. Help me help you type situation. And we treat our candidates that way as well as our clients.
Very high touch industry.
Very.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that you you mentioned when we were talking earlier is that your candidates are not just people who are looking for jobs, but they're actually, you know, leaders.
They are.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that and, you know, maybe, you know, reach out to the folks that, mm-hmm. you know, aren't necessarily looking for a job, but why would they get in touch with you if they're not looking for a job?
A lot of times they'll get in touch just to see what's going on out there, what I see the market trends being, because I'm in a position, I talk to so many people in different companies on an ongoing basis, I kind of have a feel for the pulse of what's going on. They will contact me, not necessarily actively looking, but just to keep their eyes open. And our best candidates are those that are very happy where they are,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are not just sitting there looking for the next job. They have to be lured. Those are the ones that clients want. They're the ones that are happily working, being productive, and will really have something to offer versus the ones that have been looking and looking and looking.
Certainly those are the folks that companies want to hire.
That's right.
Not the ones who have been looking and looking and looking,
exactly.
But the ones who are already there and already making a contribution.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How if somebody's sitting out there listening and saying, you know, maybe I should get off my butt and be prepared and see what might be down the road for me a little bit, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, they would call our office.
Okay.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And usually what's interesting and I have found is even when I contact them unexpectedly, they usually have an updated resume. Mm-hmm. These people are very savvy in keeping their skills updated because, again, you never know.
Sure.
And so when I contact them, believe it or not, they're not looking, but they are a bit prepared.
Mm-hmm. So the best way to reach you is 919?
Yes, 424-3979. That's my direct number.
Excellent. Sure. And the website is, what's your website address? CarlyleConlin.com. Mm-hmm. And that's CarlyLe.
Right.
CONLAN.
Yes.
.com. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was really great. We're going to come back and talk to you in just a minute, Barbara, if you can hold tight. We want to have a conversation now with Marlene Switzer. Marlene is with Cressa Carolinas. Now, tell us what Cressa stands for, please.
So Cressa stands for Commercial Real Estate Service Advisors.
So now everybody knows what she does. Tell us a little bit about how you work. Tell us how Cressa works.
So Cressa is a strictly tenant representation commercial real estate firm. We're an international corporate real estate advisory firm, and we're the largest firm in the world that specializes in only representing tenants.
Wow.
And we offer full service of real estate services, including transaction management, which is basically brokerage, you know,
so
what do you think
and selling
of as
kind of
leasing or purchasing or build to suit of commercial real estate.
Okay.
And that could be office, it can be industrial, it can be lab space, various types of commercial real estate. We also offer project management services, property management, but project management. So our clients who want a professional to help them really from soup to nuts, from the organization and integration of the architects, the space plan, the construction, the
so they could
the
they
data
start with
resources.
You really early, right?
Exactly,
and
exactly.
They, before so, they even know what they want for sure.
Well, typically, project management would get involved at a stage where we're trying to finalize a location, and they might be assessing what might make the most sense as far as the build out goes.
Okay,
but once a location is chosen, they would come on board and they would help coordinate all aspects of the with the architect and with the engineer and with the data source folks and moving and just all aspects of the project itself.
That's pretty cool. Is that usually something that all of your clients
No,
it's to do?
Typically, it would be a client that would be about, more typically 10,000 square feet and up.
Okay.
Our brokerage services are, we are paid by the landlord.
Sure.
Whereas project management is more of a fee-for-services platform.
So do you also work it in the middle with as a sort of buyer's representative if somebody decides they want to buy a building? Or
absolutely.
You do.
So if someone is interested in purchasing a building or doing a built-to-suit, say we would help with site selection in helping them find the land and coordinating to build a facility. And we can do things like analyze whether it makes more sense for them to lease or to purchase and do that type of analysis.
Great.
But we're all focused on representing the it's really representing the end user.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have any ties to landlords or owners outside of knowing who they are and their buildings and being as familiar as possible with the workings of the buildings and the landlords. So the big thing with this is there's no conflict of interest.
Okay.
So you can liken it to someone who's in a litigation. So you wouldn't want to have the lawyer for the prosecutor and the defense working with you. You have an advocate on one side. There's no conflict in that sense.
So this is how you got into this whole thing. How did you get into this whole thing? I mean, I'm looking at your legal background and I'm thinking, how did you make this transition from law to real estate?
Well, I practiced law for a while in both Pennsylvania and here in the Raleigh-Durham area. And then decided that I wanted to be a little bit more entrepreneurial, if you will. And
that's what happens when you come to the Triangle. Everybody gets all entrepreneurial.
So
it's just in the water,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, so, you know, I've had a couple of lawyers in the past ask me about it. And I said, well, I guess it's a little bit more like being a plaintiff's lawyer because you complete the transaction, you get the verdict, if
gotcha.
You will,
okay.
And you satisfy your client. It's a little bit different from that regard. Although, what we try to do is not just stop once the lease is signed. We try to follow it all the way through to make sure the upfit is done properly and that our clients are satisfied, and keep in touch with them if they in the future need to expand or renew or in some cases downsize.
Mm-hmm,
and in
sure.
those cases, we would work with our corporate clients to help them with subleasing their spaces.
Okay.
And that's the only time that we ever really get involved in working to market a space. But
so you're really talking about more of a long-term relationship as opposed to a transaction-based relationship.
Absolutely.
Right?
And the firm, it's interesting hearing Barbara, talking about data centers and data management, because we've worked with a few companies out of California most recently that have opened up offices here in the Raleigh-Durham area.
I bet there's lots of overlap, actually.
So that's been interesting.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Have you seen much of a trend towards green space here? You know, being green,
more environmentally
in
responsive
terms
buildings.
Of building out the office space, is that something that's beginning to catch on here in the Triangle or not?
There is an interest in trying to do that. There's for a lot of companies, being able to be in a LEED certified building
right.
or a sustainable building is important, and the cost differential has. Over time has tried to work itself out, so it's not as expensive, if you will,
right.
to try to do that. There are firms, however, that really it's the location, it's the layout, the rent, those sorts of things that are most important. But particularly technology firms and more entrepreneurial firms, they really do like to see a more sustainable building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do your project managers often work with companies who want to sort of retrofit, if you will, to be more sustainable in terms of what their building is doing?
In some cases they do, and Cressa, we have close to 60 offices throughout North America and also overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So a number of our advisors are LEED certified.
Yeah, good.
Or have the LEED designation, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something.
Yeah, the building
that,
certified,
right. The person has their LEED certification.
Right.
So So that is something that, you know, we're cognizant of.
Tell us a little bit more about what's going on in this region. What are you seeing as far as vacancies, and what's it cost these days? What's an average square foot for different areas? And I know I'm asking you to like pull something out of out of your head. So,
well, you know, in our area, it's interesting. If you want to be in downtown Raleigh or downtown Durham in the central business districts, in Class A space, which is the, if you will, the more premier space.
Sure.
Vacancy is very low. Vacancy factor is really under 4% for Class A space. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Whereas, if you are talking about a more suburban market, vacancy factors, it varies by the submarket, but more in the 12% or so. It keeps going down because of the recession. We really haven't had much built in the past few years. We're starting to see some new construction coming out of the ground, but rents have been going up because supply has been shrinking. Yeah. And as far as lab space, it's a fairly tight market as far as wet lab space.
There are
some out there, but there are some new developers that have come into the area that will be offering up more in our strong life science community.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So as rents go up, and I realize the market is pretty tight here, but as rents go up, are you finding that the companies are able to do better space planning and operate in smaller space?
Yes. So, the trend now for many office users is to have much more open and flexible space. You know, with a lot of people working at home or coming in and out of the office, you aren't seeing as much of the old, the old traditional law firm space where,
yeah.
you know, you, everybody
this is your
had
office
this, you know, this the huge office and whatnot. You see a lot more use of cubicles, or in the case of a lot of technology companies or architectural firms, they're benching. And in some firms, no one even has a private office,
mm-hmm.
Or certainly maybe it's just upper level management,
right.
And there's just a lot of a lot of flexibility, hoteling and collaborative spaces, if you will.
Hoteling.
Kind
Tell
of
us
plug
about
it,
hoteling.
Coming and
staying
sort
night.
Of a plug in. No, not staying the night, but just having having a station where you can, plug in,
use it
plug
when you
in
need
and
it,
use it when you need it,
and it may not be the same desk every time.
Exactly.
Is that what that means?
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, Barbara. So how does all this play back into your market? You know, hoteling people, not giving them the corner office when they get the big promotion. You know. Maybe
mm-hmm.
I've seen some space where the executives' offices are on the inside
mm-hmm.
because the masses get to share the windows. How
exactly.
does that all play into mm-hmm. recruiting, and how important is that to everybody?
Well, a lot of people are with it, with the trends. And one of the things that does bring up is a topic we've talked about quite a bit lately. It's when people come in and, using your term, hoteling, sitting down, using a station, leaving, or whatever the case may be, using their own devices.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are very mobile now.
Right.
Mobile technology, mobile applications are big. And it's very conducive for something like that. And we have a lot of questions about the ups and downs of that, or the issues with that and security.
Mm-hmm.
So I could get off into the technology end of that, but I won't. But I think you're going to see more and more of it because people are mobile themselves. They're able to do a lot of work in different locations, so they don't really need that particular office all the time. And what I've seen, too, in a lot of companies with the open landscape, so to speak, you do have private offices or places you can go in when you need to have meetings and such. So you don't have to have everybody having an office, or even managers don't have to have a particular office to be able to conduct their
mm-hmm.
business.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the offices that are set up this way, you know, they have the touchdown spaces, so you can, you know, go and work. And the idea of it is to be much more collaborative. I mean, that's one of the points of it, to be more creative, to be more collaborative. But you also need to be able to make some phone calls or to be able to think quietly at times. So a lot of setups will have a, you know, private phone rooms or,
right.
you know, I'm certainly small or larger conference rooms and whatnot. But there really are a couple of points with it. One is to be more collaborative. And the other is it cuts down on the amount of square footage that. So that's
really impacting your industry then.
Yeah. So we need to be cognizant and, you know, we try to work with our clients to make sure they have enough space for their needs and for potential expansion if that's something that's on the books for them, but not too much, you know, not wasted space that they're going to be paying for. And, you know, that's the whole thing about, you know, being the tenant's advocate is working to come up with the best possible situation for the clients, not just the lowest rent, but it can be the most favorable upfit allowance, the most favorable renewal clauses, rent concessions, lease clauses, knowing who the landlords are, knowing who's going to be, making sure we're putting our tenants with a strong landlord that's going to be able to keep the building going properly. So those are the kinds of things that as tenant advocates we do.
Who do you typically work with at the companies? And then who's involved these days?
Yeah,
in,
is it the CEO or
getting space?
Yeah, you know, it really depends on the size of the company. It could be the CEO, it could be the CFO. Or it could be their real estate person. And if it's a large enough corporation, you know, many large companies have, have a real estate, person coordinated, within that firm.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing those people reaching out to the employee base to get them involved in the process, or is it still pretty much a top-down, like, we're moving, this is what the new space is going to look like, and we hope you're going to be happy?
No, I see much more of trying to make sure that employees are happy. I mean, you look at, like, a group like Red Hat, and they really work so hard to be sure that that their space was something that was going to be great for their employees. And there's so many other companies in our area, particularly technology companies that try to do that. And, you know, I've had that with other clients that, you know, they bring their employees so they could see it, you know, and whatnot. Another factor, and this is something Barbara hit upon, was, you know, making sure that their amenities that are nearby. So, you know, that the restaurants that are close by, there's housing nearby. And this could be, you know, apartments or single family homes. And then there are after work amenities, you know, you know, that they're, you know, bars or entertainment venues and whatnot. That's why the downtowns have gotten to be so popular, because you can do the, you know, if you will, the live work play concept.
Yeah, everybody loves being at, like, American Tobacco
because
it's so easy to do everything you want to do.
Exactly, because it's all there, and you know, you can,
and it's enjoyable. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
So if I'm looking for space, what's the top two or three things that you would tell me that I should be focused on?
Well, I'd have to find out what your industry is first.
Well, let's say I'm a technology company, since we have so many technology companies here, and that's a big part of our audience. So
software.
You know,
I'm a software company.
Yeah, I'm a software company. Maybe I have got, you know, 10,000 square feet, and I'm looking for some new space because I'm going to be growing.
Okay, well,
you just hired Barbara.
Well, okay, great. So you want to keep your employees. So we look to see, you know, okay, where are you right now, and where are your employees? Where do they live? You know, so we want to, or at least, not just key management folks, but, you know, and that's obviously part of it. It's not just, you know, putting the office within a mile of the CEO's house. Like, you know.
Like it used to be.
Yeah, like it used to be. But, you know, looking to see where your employee base is and then where you might be drawing from. Because if you're a technology company, you could be drawing not only from the universities, but from other technology firms that are in the area. And that could be one of the things that you want to be cognizant of. And then you want to know, okay, where are the closest restaurants within reasonable price points and hotels and other venues and
So it's about location.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a very different ball game than, like I said, you know, having it so it's within a mile of the, you know, the
sure.
main person's house.
And I think too that people have a very emotional response to where they work. You know, especially in this area, I find the Triangle to be very interesting. People are either, they're Raleigh, or they're Durham, or no, I'm Chapel Hill Carborough, and they're very spread out. They've got to have that affiliation. It's like where they went to college or something.
Well, and that, you know, plays into it in a different sense as far as traffic patterns.
That sure
so
does.
You, if, and that really just goes back to where your most of your employees are based, or where mm-hmm. you want to have it based, so you can, you know, that might be another factor in it yep. as well. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, this is a really great conversation. I think that the growth of the region is really going to continue to keep both of your companies buoyed by this. I noted that we'd seen some job growth here that we're outpacing some of our sister cities. That's going to impact mm-hmm. both of you, so mm-hmm. go for it.
So, Marlene, if listeners want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
So the best way to get in touch with me is you can call my office,
okay.
and that number is 919-213-9831, and you can reach me by email at mspritzer@cressa.com, or go to my website, go to our website, which is... Cressa.com/Raleigh.
All right. It sounds like we got lots of options to get in touch. So.
Sure. And Barbara, did you have any last closing words for us?
I have a quick question for Marlene. You know, you've probably heard about some of the proposed ideas of expanding in the Research Triangle Park area. And I know there has been some talk about building,
a living work
quarters,
play kind
yeah,
of thing.
Workplace, you know, restaurants, that kind of multi-purpose mm-hmm. area. Have you heard any more about that or anything about plans?
I haven't heard anything more specifically over the past month or so since it's been announced. I know that, you know, the architect is working on it. It's in the works.
Okay.
With you know, the Archie facility and, you know, everything that's come into play with it. And I think it's a wonderful thing because unlike, you know, a few years ago when people wanted those, you know, more isolated large campus settings, mm-hmm. people want, you know, mm-hmm. more the live, work, play and mm-hmm. being able to, you know, have those amenities nearby. So mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you right now exactly okay. where that stands, but okay. I know it's, you know, I understand it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And it does sound like very exciting space, by the way. I mean, the whole idea of putting, you know, multiple living spaces within a reasonable distance of where mm-hmm. people can work and having some entertainment mm-hmm. nearby and having shopping nearby. I mean,
absolutely.
To me, it sounds
perfect.
It sounds
life.
Great. You know, jumping on the bicycle. Mm-hmm. to go to work out as opposed to sitting through six stoplights or whatever would be,
At least, exactly.
I would think would be very desirable.
Right.
And another good drawing point to the area from outside where people are moving in, where everything's convenient. You know, we're talking about, we're a convenient society now.
Absolutely.
Right. And I mean, you know, it, that'll offer, you know, more lab space and more office space and some retail.
Absolutely.
And, all of those are important, growth items here.
Well, you guys have been great guests and really invigorated us and got us thinking about growth for the region. But it's time to wrap up the show, and hopefully we'll get a chance to have you guys back on the show again to talk some more sometime.
Well, thank you so much for having us. Thoroughly
thank
enjoyed
you very
it.
Much.
Very glad to have you. And this is Anne Ravel-Petcher signing off for Metro Raleigh Business Radio. Until next time.